Hello, my name is Sam Breakgear and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your PR and marketing podcast from Publicize, specialists in PR and digital communications. Here, you will learn how to build an effective communication and growth strategy for your business with advice from a variety of experts.
Plan ahead and mitigate the damage.
People started following me because of that.
That's one of the main ways I've gotten us in the big name publications.
You need to write it as if it's an email going from you to a friend.
You can kind of maximize your ad dollars there.
With this show, alongside our free online resources, you will learn how to take the right steps so your business will gain more recognition online, convert more leads to sales, and build greater trust among prospects, clients, and investors. In today's episode, we'll be looking at email marketing based on our guide, The Complete Guide to Email Marketing. To explore this topic, we are joined by Mac Osolsky, Director of Get Response Max, a comprehensive marketing software platform. From today's discussion, you will learn how a business with no experience can get started with email marketing, the secret to effective email marketing content, and some tips on how to avoid ending up in the spam folder. Mac also shares with our listeners what can spam and GDPR email marketing regulations are and why they are important. If you want to learn more about email marketing and how it can help grow your startup, then check out the complete guide to email marketing on our website at publicize.co/guides. There will also be a link in the description of this episode. And if you like the episode, some other The Loudspeaker episodes you should listen to are 5 Steps to Get Started with Email Marketing, Stepping Up Your Email Marketing to an Advanced Level, and Why Your Marketing Strategy Needs to Change in 2021. But for now, on with today's episode.
So I'm Mac Osolsky. I'm the director of Get Response Max for Get Response, of course. Been with the company for the last 13 years of my professional experience, and I'm mostly helping medium and large businesses boost their online presence through multiple channels that Get Response is offering, which are mainly email marketing, landing pages, marketing automation, and channels such as SMS and web push. And Get Response is the online marketing platform that has been on the market for the last 23 years, actually. We have over 350,000 customers across the globe, and sort of the biggest, actually, SaaS marketing platforms in the world right now. So I think I'm in a very happy place.
Oh, sounds like you should be, and congratulations on that. And I'm super happy to have you here for this subject of email marketing today. Now, we have covered this topic before, so it's not something which is new to our listeners, but just in case anyone is starting for the first time or this is their first episode, and maybe you know they are very basic when it comes to their knowledge of email marketing, let's start with the most basic question for anyone that is new to this topic. What is email marketing?
I think it's one of the most fundamental and one of the most traditional ways to build the online presence for your business. It is also one of the cheapest ways to do it, actually. So I think that, you know, it's always easier to tackle that question with what email marketing is not. And email marketing is not sending unsolicited, non-permission content that people do not accept. And I don't only mean legally acceptable content. I mean content that on a very personal level is just simply speaking non-targeted, non-engaging, and non-instinct. So email marketing is all about first-party data, which is super important these days, especially with that third-party cookie ban in Google conversation coming up, actually. So this is about building your own database of people who are interested in hearing from your company, from your brand, and reaching them at some regular frequency with interesting content, engaging messages, and making sure that you can actually drive traffic to your website, increase conversions, and sell things online. So again, one of the most traditional, but I think one of the most as well proven and well documented marketing channels that are available to businesses these days.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I mean, I put you on the spot a little bit here, but would you be able to talk more about that ban? I'd be more interested to know about, what that entails and why that kind of complicates things, or how this, this impacts email marketing.
Yes, I think that for the last couple of years, actually, online marketing has been under a, let's say, bigger scrutiny when it comes to the sources of data that businesses are processing. And, GDPR is one of the biggest examples of how different regulators want the consumers to be, basically speaking, more aware with whom and how they share their data. Browser providers such as Apple with Safari and Google with Chrome right now are also becoming more conscious, or actually have already become more conscious with, when it comes to collecting and sharing the data about the users of these browsers. So, the cookie is one of the most basic and fundamental ways of collecting information about what you do in the internet as a user. And right now, the biggest focus across both the regulators and the browser providers is to make sure that you are aware and conscious as the internet users about the companies that collect and share your data, right? So long story short, this is about putting a bigger emphasis on users' awareness and the users' deliberate consent to share the information with specific companies, not with very robust and complex network of advertising businesses that are somehow connected to each other. And at the end of the day, you end up with your personal information, your browsing history, your demographics being shared with multiple companies that you have actually never even heard about. To actually finish that thought, what it means for the marketer. For the marketer, it means that in some way, the third-party cookie ban will limit their reach and their marketing capabilities if they have been heavily relying on these third-party ad networks in the past. So these days, all of the solutions that are putting the emphasis on the first-party data, on building your organic presence in the internet, which can be the SEO, but it can be also email marketing or collecting the consent to send the web push notifications. These channels, from my perspective, from my personal opinion, will continue to grow because they will provide the biggest advertising and targeting capabilities these days.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to explain that. I know I put you on the spot a bit there, but we'll get back on track now with email marketing. And I'd love to know, in your opinion, what is the key to effective email marketing content?
So I would say that this is all about, it might sound like a cliche, this is all about being relevant. And this is all about being engaging with the content, with the offering, and with the timing of your messages. These days, consumers and email users are very dynamic, I would say. They will switch the devices on which they open up the emails, from desktop to laptop to the mobile device, which according to different studies these days will account for more than even 50% of all of the email open rates. They will have very different demographics when it comes to the age, to the the level of being advanced when it comes to the broad experience in online shopping. So the biggest challenge for companies these days when it comes to email marketing and being effective in email marketing is about adjusting to these dynamic needs, to these dynamic habits, and using technologies, using tools which will provide them with the right data to deliver the right content at a good time, at the right time of the day as well, content that is well displayed and well presented, whether they open it on the mobile device or on the desktop. So I think that this is all about being relevant, again, content-wise and personalization-wise as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that as we evolve with technology, the way we're marketed to is obviously going to need to evolve alongside that as well. It can't remain constant. So yeah, definitely staying relevant is important. Now, My next question is kind of twofold. So I would love to know, what are some mistakes that can have your email sent straight to the spam folder? And on top of that, what are some steps to avoid ending up in the spam folder?
I would say that 10 years ago, that would be a very simple question, because the algorithms and the mechanisms that mailbox provider use, and I mean Google, Yahoo, Outlook, they were pretty transparent, I would basically say, and maybe just put it this way. So they would rely on multiple spam keywords that you should not use in the email content. They would rely on, let's say, on the image to text ratio in your email, on specific signs which you can put in the subject line. So in a way, it was like the credit score rating, right, for your personal finances. There was a set of rules and set of things that you should not be doing as the sender. And as long as you follow these guidelines, you end up in the inbox or you end up with a good rating. Now, things have shifted and they are very, very much user-centric these days. The spam keywords that, you know, I mean, this is still a thing. You should not, you know, include like, you know, multiple calls to action, text call to actions, and, provide the copy in your subject line with all caps, you know, just screaming out buy me and purchase me and so on and so forth. But what is really more important is that the content which you sent is being met with the right engagement from its users. And what Gmail and other companies are doing today, they're more measuring the behavior of the recipients of these emails than what you put in the email. And these behaviors can be, you know, the fact of opening up your message, the fact of clicking on a certain link and actually going to your website. And these are the positive actions, and also the negative actions, which can be actually not opening up your email or marking that email as spam. So there is a very sophisticated algorithm that is, you know, typically AI based across multiple of these mailbox providers that simply speaking weighs these actions and at the end of the day provides certain assessment of you as a sender, right? If your content is engaging, if your subscribers open your emails, if they engage with the links, with the products, with the content copy, bam, you're at home, all right? You're gonna end up in the inbox. But if your copy is fine, but nobody opens up your emails, then you have a problem, okay? Mm. You might not include these spam keywords and, you know, your image to text ratio might be fine, but sorry, if, you know, a vast majority of your people don't wanna read your emails, then, you know, they will just simply speaking be put into the spam folder, and that's where they actually belong according to those mailbox providers these days.
That's a very smart way of analyzing it. I didn't know they approached it like that. That's cool. Build a robust communication strategy for your business using Publicize's digital resources. From toolkits to templates, our resources are available to everyone and anyone, just like this podcast. To scale and grow your business today, visit our guides at publicize.co/guides and be sure to follow The Loudspeaker wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. You actually brought something else to mind. And again, I'm putting you on the spot here. It's a bit of a curveball question, but you mentioned about like images and the ratio. What kind of role would you say that images or even like GIFs and emojis play when it comes to email marketing content?
I think that they are really important, you know. I mean, especially when you think about the conversions and the click-through rates. I mean, you know, this is like the part and parcel of the email design these days. Luckily for marketers, you know, like the top online marketing platforms such as GetResponse are equipped with tools that help them design well-looking emails with, you know, great images that can be actually easily edited online within these tools without the need to use the Photoshop. And at the end of the day, they will run the verification of that email template according to a set of those, we call them the spam rules, right? So you're going to get a spam check, and the system will actually tell you, hey, you should, you know, correct this copy and remove that image, or, change that URL in your email, because it is very probable that it will end up in the spam folder. Now, there is no hard and fast rule these days on how many images you could or should not include in the email itself. I think that there is a, you know, I think that if you use any of these online tools these days, you will end up in a, you will end up in a safe place. You will end up designing good looking email template, or you might rely on some predefined and ready-made email templates. What is also, I think, interesting, you know, I'm seeing, and this is just my personal observation, you know, I'm seeing more and more newsletters these days that are 99% copy-based, you know, and actually text-based. And they might not include almost any images at all. And, you know, they can be related to stock alerts or the analysis of the financial market. They can be related to personal development. They can be related to, meditation, all right? Mm-hmm. I think that many marketers and bloggers are developing a great habit of creating almost image-free, engaging content that people will want to read, and they will actually dive into this without any fancy links or buttons or images. And I know multiple bloggers and influencers that are even able to sell the access to such newsletters. But of course, this is something that is, it's very hard to employ if you are a B2C or a B2B brand. And the main reason for which you want to use email marketing is to drive traffic to your website, or just simply speaking, highlight your services and your offerings, right? But I'm just kind of throwing it out there, because many people think that, you know, text-based emails are something of the past, that, you know, that this is how it used to be done in the late 90s. It's not true. It's not true. It can be done amazingly well, but, the copywriting just kind of needs to, let's say, defend itself, and the message that you want to convey to your readers might, just kind of needs to be conveying enough.
That's good to know. I mean, I had an interesting experience the other day. So I get a lot of pitches like for this show and people wanting to be on it. And sometimes when I don't have the expert that I need, I'll go to Harrow and maybe I'll like put out a request, because that gets a lot of visibility. And I received a ton of pitches from people wanting to be on the show this week. And one of the ones that stood out to me is someone used emojis in the subject line. They had like the loudspeaker emoji, which is like a megaphone or whatever. And even though like I would debate whether or not sending that, because it might seem kind of, I don't want to say like childish, but it deducts from like the seriousness of the pitch. But at the same time, one thing I will say is it stands out, like when I'm receiving like, I don't know, 80 to 90 pitches from people, and then there's one with like emojis on it, it stands out. So yeah, that came to mind when we're discussing this. But onto like a more, I suppose, serious note, moving away from GIFs, emojis, images, and all that. Can you explain what CAM, spam, and GDPR email marketing regulations are and why they're important, please?
So I think that both CAM, spam, and GDPR are the two most fundamental regulations that marketers should be aware these days, and actually not being aware of how these regulations work might cost you a lot of money, especially if you violate the European brother of CAN spam, which is GDPR. So you know, both of them are both of them are all about privacy. They are all about being let's say diligent with the consumer's data, right? CAN spam is the one that has been founded way before GDPR came into force in the European Union, and by many experts is being considered as a more of a liberal and open law, because CAN spam does not actually require businesses and marketers to obtain any sort of a consent to receive and send marketing communication. It actually only fundamentally binds them to give a way to opt out from that communication, and provide the physical address in the email of the business that was the original sender of that message. Now, GDPR is way, I would say, stricter than canned spam, because GDPR is, well, you know, first of all, putting the obligation on the businesses to receive the marketing consent for any sort of communication that they want to send over. It also introduces the right to be forgotten, which is, you know, a fancy name for that, you know, very, very, let's say, practical scenario in which if you don't want to receive any communication from a certain business, it is their problem to make sure that you disappear from their databases and you don't receive any SMS, any web push, any email, and your personal data is just simply speaking disappearing from there. Now, GDPR is, of course, you know, something that I would say can have a bigger, let's say, a financial effect if you are violating it. And we've seen a few examples already of companies violating GDPR in multiple aspects. You know, they're, you know, they've been not removing their records of their consumers after they have requested to be opted out from the communication, or they have been not diligent with collecting the data. And by diligent, I mean that if you are running a newsletter on your website, you should not be only saying, hey, sign up here to receive emails. You should also provide the additional checkboxes that should not be pre-checked with the appropriate information about the company that will be processing your data. Now, I don't want to get into too many details because you know, they are both quite, I would say, sophisticated regulations, especially as for the GDPR. But I think that you know, like the key thing is about the consent, is about the permission, and is about giving the users the transparent and easy way to opt out from the marketing communications.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like we're moving to a fairer world when it comes to data and data use. So even though it is complicated, like you said, and there's lots of nuts and bolts, it seems like a step in the right direction, at least. Now,
for sure.
Yeah, I have one more question for you, and it's related to email marketing, obviously, and then we're done. But my last question to you, how can our listeners use email marketing analytics to their advantage?
I think that the best way to answer that question would be to start with what set of analytics you can actually get as the marketer these days. So, you know, first of all, with any decent email marketing technology today, you're going to get a vast majority of activities that your subscribers and contacts generate within the email itself. So you're going to get the opens, you're going to get the clicks, you're going to get the bounces, you're going to get the opt-outs, and so on and so forth. And plenty of these technologies also allow you to track what is going on the website. So once you leave the email and go to your online, you know, presence, online website, what is actually happening there? I think that the most practical and most pragmatic way to use these analytics today is segmentation. And this is something that's been, you know, the topic of discussions for, I think, the last 15 years. But segmentation as a tool, as a methodology, does evolve a lot as well. So segmentation is all about using that behavioral data and maybe combining it with some demographics such as the you know, city and age and preferences of your contacts, and building up relevant segments. So simply speaking, groups of people that are, you know, that share the same interests, preferences, so that they can receive more relevant content, more personalized messages at a better time. And you know, we've been seeing tens and tens of examples of amazing segmentation, right? And this is something that can actually work wonders. It can be used to reactivate those contacts that are not engaging with your emails for the last 6 months. It can be used to promote these that are the most active contacts and, you know, give them the additional, you know, vouchers and coupons and the opportunity to get the free delivery. We've seen a segmentation done according to the RFM method, and RFM is a big topic these days, especially for the e-commerce businesses. And this is about the recency, frequency, and monetary value. So you use these three, let's say, metrics and aspects to build a group of your most engaged subscribers that receive your communication most often and spend the most money with you. So, you know, typically these are the, you know, these are those 20% of your contacts that generate the 80% of the revenue. So you want to make sure that you know who they are, and you want to make sure that you target the right messaging for them. So to me, email analytics and the most effective way to use it is through segmentation, which can, you know, very effectively at the end of the day increase your conversions and increase the engagement within your emails.
Fantastic. I think that's some solid advice there. And that was my last question to you regarding email marketing. Now I only have one more, and that is, if people want to reach out to you or get in touch with yourself or get response or just keep up to date with what you're doing, how can they find you, Mac?
First of all, they can send me an email, and that's one of the most preferred channels. You can reach me at mac@getresponse.com. This is mac@getresponse.com. If you want to learn more about the product and about GetResponse online marketing platform, feel free to drop us an email at sales@getresponse.com. And if you want to reach out to me personally, connect with me, you know, join my network, I recommend to send me an invite on LinkedIn. My name is Mac Osowski, which is MacOssowski. So feel free to reach out and feel free to connect. That's going to be the best way to get in touch with me.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Mac. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast to stay up to date with the latest PR and digital communications trends. You can also find numerous videos on our YouTube channel where we break down complex topics and the best tips to help you scale and grow your business. If you're ready to take your PR and digital communications to the next level, book a call with one of our growth consultants today. And that's not all. Exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge. Just go to publicize.co/lspromo to book your call. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to having you here again soon.